Now you will hear segment three.
Imagine yourself in a room where glow-in-the-dark fiber-optic stars shine faintly on the ceiling and colored bubbles rise in a tall lighted column before a mirror. In recliners, three elderly people sit comfortably, holding teddy bears, and music plays softly as scenes of an autumn forest are projected on a wall. These are just some of the features of Snoozlin' rooms, which are slowly beginning to spring up in long-term care centers for residents with severe Alzheimer's and other hard-to-treat disorders around the United States. Here to tell us more is Dan Watkins, director of one of the centers that have instituted one of these amazing rooms. Dan, welcome to the show. Why don't you start by telling us what the purpose of a Snoozlin' room is?
I'd be glad to. To begin with, the special effects of these multi-sensory rooms are intended to stimulate the primary senses with music, soft, tactile objects, lighting, and fragrances. The stimulation blunts the anxieties of even the most regressive residents and helps them relax. Because the ambience is so peaceful, the patients become peaceful. And while they're relaxing, they become more alert and aware of their surroundings because there are lots of interesting things to look at. The Snoozlin' room cuts out all the extraneous stimulation of a conventional nursing unit, which has a lot of noise, people talking, bright lights, and it's fun. Even the staff gets a chance to relax while they're caring for the patients.
It sounds fascinating. Did the idea originate here in the United States?
Actually, no, it didn't. Snoozlin' rooms originated in the 1970s in the Netherlands. The name is a combination of the Dutch words for sniffing and dozing, and the name is intended to convey that sense of lazy relaxation that the rooms produce. In the Netherlands, Snoozlin' is now standard in caring for the disabled and the elderly. Most long-term institutions have Snoozlin' rooms for residents' weekly sessions. From the Netherlands, the concept spread to Great Britain, which now has more than 1,000 rooms, and the concept has also caught on in Australia, Germany, Israel, Malaysia, and Switzerland, among other countries. So, actually, the United States has been rather slow in adopting the concept.
Really? Why do you think the U.S. healthcare industry has been so resistant to them?
Well, it's the same with lots of things that don't have a lot of evidence base behind them. You'll always find some skeptics and some enthusiasts. The healthcare industry in the United States has been less enthusiastic about multisensory stimulation, in part because the studies that show that it reduces anxiety and improves sociability have been criticized for their inadequate methodology and small sample size. Another reason is the scientists have not yet examined the effects of Snoozlin' on sensory-deprived brains. All of this means that until key studies are done to prove that Snoozlin' is effective, professional skepticism will persist, and health insurance companies will refuse to pick up the bill for treatment.
So where's the sudden wave of interest coming from?
I think from the fact that the evidence that we've seen is so impressive, albeit on a small scale. The rooms are set up to promote well-being without medication, and that's exactly what they seem to be doing. That's a pretty attractive proposition, particularly for experts who are expecting a dramatic increase in the number of Alzheimer's cases in the coming decades. And it's causing more and more people to begin to look seriously at what Snoozlin' rooms have to offer.
Can you give us some examples of how Snoozlin' is being used?
Certainly. As I suggested earlier, two of its main uses are to reduce anxiety and improve the sociability of people with dementia. This is why centers in the Netherlands give Snoozlin' treatment to their dementia patients several times a week. A behavioral psychologist at the Beth Israel Medical Center in New York City reports using it successfully with cardiac and dementia patients, as well as with children and adults suffering from anxiety disorders that he called treatment-resistant to everything. He provides them with Snoozlin' for several weeks to ease their fears and enable them to become more receptive to psychiatric therapy. Another hospital uses Snoozland projectors to help soothe dying Alzheimer's patients. And a children's hospital in Kansas City, Missouri, uses them in neonatal and pediatric intensive care wards. Advocates of the treatment all seem to be saying pretty much the same thing, that Snoozland is a powerful way of calming, comforting, and soothing patients. The stories we get again and again are of people who are reclusive, anxious, and withdrawn, suddenly coming alive again.
And going back to the critics again, this is precisely the kind of thing that is hard to prove scientifically.
Exactly. The question on everyone's lips is, do patients really benefit? Obviously, benefit is hard to quantify. But if we can define benefit to mean smile, relax, and engage with their surroundings, then yes, I believe it can be said that Snoozland is highly beneficial.
It will be interesting to see how this plays out in the future. Thanks for enlightening us.
Now you'll hear questions 46 through 50. 46. How do conventional nursing units differ from Snoozland rooms? In which country did Snoozland originate? 48. Why do some people criticize the studies that have been done? 49. Why are American experts becoming increasingly interested in Snoozland therapy? 50. According to the passage, which is not one of the benefits associated with Snoozland therapy? 7.